is an encounter with God's word that guarantees a life of dominion. Join Pastor Stephen Enoko, lead pastor, Love Embassy Church, as he brings the message of the kingdom with all simplicity, authority, and power. God bless you as you listen.
Let there be light. Open the eyes of the blind. Purify our hearts in your fire. Breathe in the sweet breath.
Understanding the ministry gift of a pastor, part 2, Jeremiah 3, verse 15. Quickly, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Let's read it together, everybody. One, two, read. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Let's take it together. I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. NLT, please. And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will guide you with knowledge and understanding. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Now the Bible said, however, he has given each of us, you see that? Now that promise has been what? Has been fulfilled. Glory to God. He said, I will give you, in Jeremiah. And in Ephesians, Apostle Paul said, however, he has what? He has given each one of us a special great gift through the generosity of Christ. Verse 8. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the height, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Did you see that? Jeremiah 3:15 is what? Is fulfilled. Take note of that word. He gave. Verse 9. Notice that it says he ascended. And this clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. Verse 10. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Take note of that. Verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. 12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, body of Christ. Verse 13. Now this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge. They will feed you with what? With knowledge. I'll give you shepherds who will guide you, who will feed you with knowledge. So knowledge is core in the responsibility of the pastor. He said they will continue the work till we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. The last verse, verse 14. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Number one, we will be mature. Number two, we will be stable. Number three, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever, they sound like the truth. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you will help us with understanding. You will bring insight to our heart in the name of Jesus. I receive the ministry of utterance. I receive simplicity. I receive enablement of thoughts so that I'll be able to communicate plainly to your people, so that everyone will be able to understand that which is being communicated. I rebuke every spirit of misunderstanding. I rebuke every spirit of religion. I rebuke every spirit of confusion. I ask that at the end of this discussion, every one of us will be edified, every one of us will be instructed, and every one of us will understand. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was able to establish that a pastor is a shepherd. A pastor is a shepherd, one given by God through Christ. You saw that in that Ephesians. One given by God through Christ for the feeding of believers so that they can become mature and bear fruit. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the pastor is a shepherd. And the work of a pastor is necessary for the current phase of the ongoing work that God is doing through the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. I established to us that there is a work that God is doing through the local church. And the pastor is of essence to that work. Now let me establish this, that everything that God is doing presently through humans must be routed through the local church. Tell your neighbor, everything that God is currently doing on earth must be routed through the local church. In other words, the local church is the conduit. The local church is the passage medium by which God is doing all that is what is doing. So let me say this, that the current phase of the ongoing work that God is doing through humans is such that is rooted, routed now, routed, through the local church. Praise God. It's very important. You can write this down. Outside the local church, God can't do anything. It's basic. He's a spirit. And everything he must do through his spirit. So who is the church? The church are those that have received the Spirit of God, and by that they have received a calling. Praise God. So the church is from that word ecclesia, and that word means they called out ones. Now called out from where? Number one, they were called out from darkness to where? To light. Number two, they were called out from the world to the body of Christ. Glory to God. So it means that the church is the administrative hub of God's eternal purpose and plan. Can I say that again? The church is the administrative hub of the current phase of God's purpose and plan. God is concerned about uniting the entire world to himself through who? Through Christ. So Christ bettered the church, and everyone that comes into the church are those that comes out from him. They receive his spirit. Glory to God. And everyone that joins a church is referred to, number one, as a believer. Write that down. Everyone that joins the Spirit of Jesus and becomes a part of his work in the church, they are referred to as believers. Number two, they are referred to as saints. They are referred to as saints. Now listen to this. A believer is one who has acknowledged Christ as Lord and believe in his finished work. Now take note of this. The context of what the believer believes is, number one, the finished work of Christ, that indeed Christ came as a flesh and then died on the cross and resurrected and gave forgiveness of sins to man. Now number two, the believer in that believing also believes in the ongoing work of God. Do you get what I just said? Now, if you believe that Christ came in flesh, there is a reason Christ came. I established that in one of the teachings. John chapter 18, verse 37. He said, I came to bear witness to the truth. In other words, Christ is the revelation of the ongoing work that God is doing. So a believer doesn't just only believe that Jesus came, he also believes in the work that God is doing. And that's the reason why when I was listening to the song that what you call the believer's creed, I believe in God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, I believe that believer's creed. How many of you recited it while you were growing up? In some of our Orthodox churches, we were made to always recite it every service. Now, there is something he also went on to say. He said, I believe in the universal church. Now, the universal church is the continuation of what God is doing. Glory to God. So, you can't believe in Christ and not believe in the work of God. That was what Jesus was telling the Pharisees. He said, you can't claim to believe God and deny me. If you believe in Jesus, you must believe in the ongoing work that God is doing. And that ongoing work, presently, the hall is the local church. Do you get that? The ongoing work, the local church is pivotal to what God is doing. So that's the reason why everyone that joins the local church is considered to be saved. And number one, they are referred to as who? Believers. Number two, they are referred to who? Saints. And then number three, they are referred to as disciples. Now, why are they called believers? Now, they are called believers because they believe in what God is doing. They are called saints because they have been sanctified. They have been washed clean. And they have no stain in their life. Number three, they are called disciples because their salvation will be perfected by teaching. Did you get that? They are called disciples because at the point where they were called, they were immature, they were babes, they were still struggling with the rudiments of this world. So it is expected that they follow to know. Tell your neighbor, the believer, the saint, still follows to know. Someone asked me a question last week or thereabout. He said, sir, the Bible says we are complete in him. And the Bible now says, until we become complete in him. What is the Bible saying? Yes, in Christ we are complete. Because the spirit you received at new birth is the perfect spirit of God. But that spirit is going to be living in a body that was actually occupied by what? By sin, by worldliness, by ungodliness. So in your spirit you are saved. But in your body and soul you are not what? You are not made perfect. You are not complete. So the spirit completes, but it needs to bring your spirit and soul, your body and soul to what? To completion. That's why when you check 1 Peter chapter 2, let's check 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 and 3. Give it to us from the Amplified. You'll see that word there. Perfected salvation. Look at what it says here. I like verse 3 and 4. Verse 2 and 3, sorry. He said, like newborn babies, you should crave, taste for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow into. Did you see that bracket? In bracket, completed salvation. So in the realm of the spirit, your salvation is complete. But like I told you, the work that God is doing, He is doing it in a world that is what? Physical. In a physical world. Tell neighbor, it's happening in a physical world. Your love is needed in a physical world. Salvation of souls is needed by the people in the world. So if you are born again spiritually, and your salvation does not have any physical undertone, does not have any physical manifestation, it is not complete. Because the work that God is doing is both a spiritual work and a what? And a physical work. So you receive a spirit, but the effect of that spirit must be noticed physically. Let your light so shine before men. Let your light, the light is what? Spiritual. But the shining of the light must be towards what? Men. Who are these men? Physical. That they may what? That they may see your what? Your good works. Physical. That they may glorify your Father in heaven. Spiritual. Glory to God. So it's a blend of spiritual and what? And physical. So your completeness in Christ is spiritual, but your completeness in this world has to come through your character, your lifestyle, the things you do, and that confers on the believer a status. Follow me and I will make you. So that number three means the believer is a what? Is a disciple. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, moving on now, talking about the believer, there are four ways that God sees the believer. There are four ways that God sees the believer. I'm talking about from God's viewpoint now, and we're going to look at that because it is along that four ways that the purpose of a pastor now set out. Number one, a believer is a newborn who needs to feed to grow. I established that on Sunday. I spent time, I think that was where I spent most of my discussion on Sunday. Did you remember when I was talking about the kind of vegetable that went to Harvard? You remember? Yeah. So, just like a mother gives attention to her newborn, 1 Peter 2:2 now makes us to understand that even though we are believers, even though we are saved, even though we are disciples, the implication is that number one, we are babies, newborns. And that means we need to be fed to grow. Did you get that? Is that okay? If any man be in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creature. It's just like when you get into a new office, or you get into a new compound, or you get into a new location, you need to stay and understand things. Praise God. So the believer is considered as a what? As a newborn. Did you see that part in Ephesians chapter 4? Is it verse 13 and 14 now? It said that you will no longer be what? Be babes. Did you see that? You will no longer be babe. In other words, there is a time where you are what? You are a babe. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, you were once a baby. Smile now. You know, sometimes I want to be a baby. So when I see the way Dominion and Caris is being taken care of. Praise God. Amen. That's why some wives start calling their husband babies, babes. Huh? Where did your mind go to? Huh? You know, there's a way you attend to babies. Where you attend to them? Carry them all around. So you were once a baby. And to some wife, you are still a baby. Okay. Amen. So remind your neighbor, you were once a baby. Whether spiritually or physically. And the implication is that what makes you to live babyhood is what you eat. Glory to God. Is what you eat. Because what you eat develops the organs in your body, which makes them able to carry understanding, carry a task. Do you understand? Like the way I talk to Stephanie now is not the way I'll talk to Dominion, because of the level they have. So the believer is seen as a newborn, it's a babe who needs to feed to grow. Number two, I wanted to take note of this. They are very, very fundamental. Number two, the believer is seen as a sheep that must be tended so that they are healthy, comfortable, and protected. Number one, the believer is seen as a newborn, a babe who needs to feed to grow. Number two, the believer is seen as a sheep that must be tended so that they are healthy and comfortable. John chapter 10, can we see verse 11 and 12 quickly? The believer is a sheep that must be tended so they are healthy, comfortable, and protected. It is from that word tending, that's where we get the word attending. You remember there's a word called attend. Attend. Now it is from that word tend that you get attend. So Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Verse 12. The hired hand will run when he sees the wolf. In other words, you are seen as a sheep that must be attended to. Number one, to be healthy. Number two, to have comfort. No wonder the Holy Spirit is called the comforter. And then number three, to be what? To be protected. Look at what he said. He said, a hireling will run when he sees a wolf coming. Who is a wolf? A wolf is the enemy of a what? A sheep. And all they do to sheep is to kill, to eat. That's why if you read the previous 10, he was talking about the thief coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you look further again, he said, every other person that came before me, they are thieves. He said, I. You start from verse 8. He started talking about himself being a shepherd. And the attention of a shepherd is towards a what? A sheep. So if Jesus calls himself a shepherd, it means he sees the believer, everyone who would believe in him, he sees them as a what? As a sheep. Prophecy has been fulfilled. Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you shepherds. So we are sheep. Glory to God. Isaiah 54, 53 said, "All we like sheep has gone astray." So the believer is seen as a sheep. Number three. Do we get that? So number one, the believer is seen as what? As a newborn, as a babe. Number two, the believer is seen as what? As a sheep that needs to be what? To be tended, so that he can be healthy, he can be comfortable, and he can be protected. Look at what David said. He said, "He restores my soul. He leads me beside still waters." And that talks about comfort. Glory to God. Number three, the believer is seen as a tree that needs to be gardened so it can bear fruit. You get that? If you can understand these four views of who the believer is, listen to me, you will grasp quickly the purpose of a shepherd. Now why? You can just put a rider on your nose. There is something I just want to say. We'll come back to it. You can put a bracket or draw a square. Write this down. Purpose defines design. Purpose defines design. Whatever purpose a thing will perform is what's going to determine how it will be designed. Okay, I'll still come back to it. Let me give you the number four way the believer is seen. I said number three, the believer is seen as a tree. Now, as a tree, he needs to be gardened. G-A-R-D-E-N-E-D. Did you get that? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9. Quickly. Did you see that? It said, "For you, we are both God's workers, and you are God's field." Like Isaiah 61 says, that you are the plantings. I think I did a series on that early this year. Spend time to teach that. That we are both God's planting. And number four, the believer is seen as a building. And as a building, it needs to be built up. Did you get that? Now, I'm sure you will now begin to see why when you come to church, we use words like bear fruit, be built up, be edified. We begin to hear words like nurture, grow, planting. Yes. The believer, number three, is seen as a what? As a tree, as a plant that needs to be gardened. In other words, it needs to be cultured. It needs to be cultivated. Now that's where statements like the fruit of the Spirit, because it is only plant that bears fruit. Do you get that? So the believer is seen as a plant. And Paul was speaking there. He said, "You are God's field." Jesus speaking in John 15, he said, "I am the vine, and my Father is the what? Is the vine dresser." So you are the trees planted in the vineyard. As a matter of fact, our focus for this year, Psalm 92 verse 12, he said, "You shall be like the cedar in Lebanon. You will flourish." Now the reason why you will flourish is because you are planted. Glory to God. And then number four, the believer is seen as a building. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. He said, we believers, as lively stones. We are what? You are living stones that God is what? Building into his spiritual temple. Now, number three, as fruit, he expects that you bear fruit. But as building, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think verse 16. Number one, you are to house his spirit. Did you get that? You are to house his spirit, basically as a building. And then number two, you are to house his works. So the believer, according to Ephesians 2:10, is God's workmanship. That is to say, there is a work that God is doing inside of you. That's what we are talking about. When you talk about things like dealings, and that's what we are talking about. There is a work he's doing. When you talk about the potter making a clay, you put clay inside the house. You know, when Lauren the other day, we were trying to price a flower what? Kilo ekpe, flower there. Verse of Bible. Don't mind me, I'm not. We are just being packaged. The word of God is gleaning us, praise God. Yeah, flowers. Just to beautify and put here and there. It's fine, isn't it? It's fine. God. Now, that kind of verse, you find it in buildings. Isn't it? You don't just suddenly walk on the road and you just see a flower verse of that amount. There is one of 40K, 35K, 25K. They are used to decorate a building. So most of the things that God is dealing with in your life is to help to make your life attractive for his ongoing work. A house is used for a work. Did you get that? So number one, as a building, you are housing a spirit. So it's going to prepare you, like a song we used to sing, Lord, prepare me a sanctuary. To be a sanctuary, pure and holy and all those things. Glory to God. Do we get that? What did 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 says? He said, your body is the what? It's the temple of God's spirit. So as a building, you are expected to be built up. Jude verse 20. Building up yourselves. So let's take them all over again. Number one, the believer is seen as a babe, a newborn that needs to what? That needs to grow. That needs to be fed to grow. The need of new birth is feeding. Is important so that we don't mix the function and the purposes. The need for a newborn is what? Is to eat. Praise God. You know, when Nathan just came, the next thing the doctor will tell the mom, get ready, milk needs to start coming out from you, or we'll go and get Nan one. Isn't it? The priority of a newborn is to be fed. Number two, the believer is seen as a what? Number one, the believer is a newborn, a babe that needs to feed to grow, that needs to be fed to grow. Good. Number two, the believer is seen as a sheep that needs to be tended so that number one, he will be healthy. Number two, he will be comfortable. And number three, he will be protected. And then number three, what did he say? He is seen as a tree. And as a tree, the responsibility for a tree is to be gardened. In other words, to be cultured and cultivated so that it can bear fruit. The expectation of a babe is to grow. The expectation of a sheep is to be protected, to be healthy, and to be comfortable. Number three, responsibility of a tree is to bear fruit, not just to grow alone. Are you understanding it? What we are expecting from a tree is not just growth. The reason why we are expecting the growth is so that it can bear fruit. Is that okay? Number four, the believer is seen as a what? As a building. Now, we don't build a house just because we want to say it's fine. Wow. You see that house? Cute. But nobody is staying inside. Does it make any sense? No. We don't do a building just because of aesthetics. You know, I can talk a bit about that. As a quality surveyor, there are three reasons we involve in a building project. Number one, we want a building project that is cost effective. We want a building project that will be finished on time. And we want a building project that is functional, that is people can stay inside. Do you get that? So, as a building, the man in Christ is expected, did you get, to accommodate God's spirit. Did you get that? That's why Paul said, your body is not for sexual immorality. Why? Your body is the temple. So the reason he redeemed you is because he wants to give you his spirit. Is that okay? So, and then number two, responsibility of a building is to carry out a work. A building is used for something. So that's why, talking about building, Apostle Paul now said, so that they will do the work of ministry. So go back to Ephesians chapter 4. I've been built up to work. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, say, you have been built up to walk. Not just the fine Christian. No. The finest Christian is the laboring Christian. Glory to God. It is from that approach, that's where you use the word labor. You labor on a crop and you also labor on a building. That's why the people that are responsible for building in a house, we call them laborers. Are you understanding what we're saying now? Now, having understood who the believer is in God's picture, it is in this fourth picture that the purpose of a pastor now flows along. Now, why? Number one, purpose determines design. The way you design a thing is as a result of the purpose you want it to perform. Raise your hand. And when we're talking about purpose defining design here, we are talking about both the design of the local church, the design of the believer, the design of the pastor. How the local church is designed is as a result of the purpose that God wants it to accomplish. Now, how the believer is designed as a babe, as a tree, as a sheep, as a building, is still because of the what? The purpose he wants to achieve. Do you get that? So purpose determine design. So how the pastor is appointed is determined by that same word, design. Can we read Ephesians 4 verse 12 again? You see everything I mentioned there. You see the application. Number one, equip God's people to do his work. Build up his church. Who is the church here? You. Who is the believer? God's building. So they are coming in to build you up. See the next verse, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of our faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Building. Next verse 14. He said, henceforth we will no more be children. So one of the responsibilities of the shepherd is to progress you from babyhood to what? Maturity. Glory to God. Did you get that? So purpose determines design. Number two, purpose determines functions. So that's why if I can show you the purposes of a pastor, four of them, you can find their functions in those purposes. And understanding those purposes will now help you judge if truly your pastor is doing God's purpose, is fulfilling God's purpose for your life. That's it. Because it is what you want a thing, the outcome, the expectation, the outcome you want from a thing, is what will determine how you will make it to function. For example, this mic, I want it to produce sound. So there is a magnet. This thing on this mic is a magnet. The way it functions, it receives sounds. So number two, purpose determines what? Function. So if you want to know the function of a pastor, check out the purpose of a pastor. Number three, purpose determines what we call challenges. If you want to itemize all the challenges any pastor will face, check his purpose. Glory to God. You know, one of the reasons why tire is always the part of the car that is affected by nail and metal. Do you know why? It's because that is the part of the car that is always on the ground. There is never a time you will hear that my engine has punctured. Does engine puncture? Engine cannot puncture because engine does not function in a circulatory manner and it does not have hair inside. The only thing a mechanic can tell you is that your engine is blocked. Air cannot come out because there is something called airflow system in a car. Are you following me, church? It means that it is the purpose a pastor is to serve that will determine the challenges he will face. Number four, purpose determines what I call outcomes. Expectations. Purpose determines design. Purpose determines functions. Purpose determines challenges. Number four, purpose determines expectation. In other words, whatever you should expect from a pastor should be in relation to his what? His purpose. Abusing a pastor is simply expecting a pastor to do what is not in line with his what? With his purpose. Are we here? Do you understand what I'm saying? Purpose determine outcome. Purpose determine expectations. I'm going to be showing you several marks of a God-appointed pastor. And now you will see why those marks must be in his life. Because of what is expected. For example, a God-appointed pastor must have a servant heart. He must be able to cope with disgrace. That's what Apostle Paul said. He said, we were disgraced, we were dishonored. Now, why? Because of the purpose they are to achieve. They are going to be tending for baby sheep. And you know what baby sheep do? No, dominion, no triumph. Say, make it pull for me. I will beat him. As in, I carried him. How was school today? And the next thing is just we on my cloth. Come. But you see, Shama, can we on your body? This is your fine shirt. He will we on it. And he will even be laughing. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? He'll be laughing. You know, while we're growing up, they used to tell us that when a child wee on your body is blessing, blessing call, blessedness. You know, they are not trying to console us so that will not provoke. Because now, why are they telling you that? Because at that level, you don't get any training. When go take go say, I won't use poof, I won't use potty. No, he's still a baby. So that's the reason why one of the marks of a God appointed pastor is that I will tolerate some of your dungs until you now what? Learn. So when he notice that you have come to a level, you are now 5 years as it were, I cannot tell Dominion, see Dominion, when you want to we, you say we, not even 5 years, it was two. From two, the child start approaching two, you start telling the child what a poo is, and signs. When you want to we, just do your mouth like this, or shake your leg. So sometimes when Stephanie is shaking the leg, AY will say, miracle, bring the poo fast. I remember when we were doing Dominion Zone. My wife would say, go and bring the potty. Can't you see? And go and bring it. Praise God. I doesn't wee on the floor, on the phone. So purpose determine what we expect. So sometimes, you now expect that, yes, you now expect that, oh, that's why sometimes, remember to say that, I expect pastor to still understand that. Yes, we understand if you are a baby. If you'll be proud for me to call you a babe, I will understand. But if you know you are not a babe, don't be thinking I should understand. Because you have grown. Glory to God. And then on God's perspective too, it is the purpose he called the pastors to achieve. That's what determines what is expecting. Glory to God. Even as pastors too, it is our purpose that determines our expectation. If you read Luke chapter 16 verse 13, a gardener planted and came and said, I need fruit here. You know, there are times your pastor will call you and say, see, precious, you are not delivering the way I want. Now, do you know why I'm placing demand on our delivery? Come on now, you've received enough fertilizers. You've received enough bricks. You've received enough masons. And so you should be stronger than you are right now. Glory to God. And lastly, purpose determines reward. You will not get any reward outside your job description. Apostle Paul said it in that same 1 Corinthians 3. He said, every man's work shall be tried. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, he said, every man shall give account. So, a pastor, as a pastor, you can't expect to be rewarded outside your purpose. It is your purpose that will determine the reward you will get. So quickly, what are the four purposes a pastor is to serve? I'll list them and then we'll pray. We'll pick up from there on Sunday. Number one, you must understand that in order for God to carry out his work on the believer, first, as a babe, second, as a sheep, third, as a tree, plant, fourth, as a building, inside of that is a viewpoint. He now spells out the purpose of a pastor. Number one, through the ministry of a pastor, the believers get to be fed with the ideal meal needed for its nourishment and growth. So the number one purpose of a pastor is to feed the believer so that the believer might be nourished and might grow. Growth, nourishment, growth. Did you get that? That's the number one purpose of a pastor. A pastor, Jeremiah 3 verse 15, a pastor is a gift from God for your nourishment and your growth spiritually now. Because you are a babe. So the pastor takes the responsibility of feeding you, feeding you. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. Apostle Paul said, by this time you ought to be teacher, but you are still needing milk. That's a sign that you are still a babe. Because the responsibility of a pastor is to progress you from babyhood to maturity. Glory to God. That's the number one. Purpose number one. A pastor is a ministry gift of God for feeding me so that I am nourished and grow. Say it, everybody. A pastor is a gift of God to me for nourishment and growth so that I mature. I'll ask you on Sunday. Number two. Purpose number two. Through the ministry of a pastor, the believer is attended to as a sheep. So they are healthy, comfortable, and protected. So the number two purpose of a pastor is to attend to you, so that you can be healthy. Number two, so that you can be comfortable. And when we're talking about comfortable here, we are not just talking about physical comfort. We are talking about your comfort needed. That, like Apostle Paul said, he said, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. Now, what kind of anchor is he talking about? A pastor teaches you so that when you are going through challenges, you have rest. That through this, God will bring me out. Now, that's comfort. That's why sometimes when you see some believers lose their precious one, maybe lost their mom or something bad, and then the pastor did not call them, they feel so bad, isn't it? Ah, pastor, you can't even call me to check on me. You didn't know I lost my mom. I'm sorry. Now, it is inexcusable for the member of a congregation to lose someone and the pastor ignores it. Now, because it is part of the expectation, because it's supposed to provide comfort. That was the reason why when Lazarus died, when Jesus came, Bible said Jesus wept. And Jesus didn't weep because Lazarus was dead. Jesus wept because he was sharing in their pain. That's why sometimes as pastors, Paul said, he said, weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that rejoice. And so that's why when we see people go through pains, we just call or send them a message and say, see, the Lord is with you. And we are also with you. You will come through this. Now, because like a sheep, you need attention. Apart from that, a pastor is to provide protection. Like Jesus was telling them in that verse 12 of John 10. That a hireling will run. That's why as many that do not have a pastoral oversight over their life, they are easily devoured by wolves. But the ministry of a pastor is ordained by God to protect you from the what? From the wolf. Number three. Purpose of a pastor. Through the ministry of a pastor, the believer is nurtured, that is, gardened like a plant, so that it can grow into maturity and bear fruit. So your fruitfulness is another reason for the gift of a pastor. The gift of a pastor, number one, is that you mature from babyhood into adulthood by being fed. So the purpose of a pastor is to feed you and leave you to grow. Feed you. Number two, he attends to you. Peter received that instruction from God in John 21 verse 16. He said, tend my flocks, feed my flocks. Simon, son of Jonah, loveth me more than this, feed my flocks, feed my flocks. He said, even if I give you the bread of affliction, the bread of adversity and the worker of affliction, he said, I will not take your teachers from you. He said, you will hear a word from behind you saying, this is the way, walk therein. The pastor is God's wisdom for your guidance, to ensure that you don't fall into the hands of wolves. Glory to God. So as a tree, number three, the pastor is God's gift to see you grow into maturity and bear fruit. So, like Paul said in that 1 Corinthians 3, he said, I planted, Apollos water, God brings increase. So the responsibility of the pastor is to nurture the believer like a plant so that they can grow into maturity and bear fruit. And lastly, number four, through the ministry of a pastor, purpose number four. Through the ministry of a pastor, the believer is built up into such that will accommodate and do the will of God through his spirit. We get that? So as a building, the Bible says their work will continue. Their work will continue until you become built up. Their work is to build you up. Their work is to build you up. Don't forget, I told you, purpose determines function. Is that not true? So because God wants you built up, everybody say with me, God wants me built up. Okay, let me give you a verse of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58, give it to us in the Amplified. You will see all the shade of being built up. He said, when you are built up, you will no longer be tossed. The reason why you can run after the latest prophet in town, run after the latest move, is because your feet has not been established. So, one of the responsibilities of a pastor is to bring stability. And the only way stability can be attained is when the building process is maintained. I think that's a punchline. The only way your spiritual stability can be what? Can be obtained is when the building process is what? It's maintained. How? He said, beloved, be firm, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, this is the most important. Oh, no, let me not say this is the most important. All the functions are important. So let me use the word. This is one of the most important functions of a God-ordained pastor. It takes you from being a babe to an adult, takes you from being a lost sheep to a found sheep, takes you from being a fruitless tree to a fruitful tree, and then he helps God to bring you, he's used of God, to bring you to a place of stability. Now that's when your work, his work, can be done. That's when sinners can become saints. That's when the church can become built up. The church can now advance forcefully. So the purpose of a pastor is to see that you are fed, number one. The purpose of a pastor is to see that you are healthy, and then you are comfortable, and then you are protected, number two. The purpose of a pastor is to ensure that you bear fruits. Number five. Number four. Number three is to ensure you bear fruit. Number four. The purpose of a pastor is to see that you are built up. Number one, to accommodate the will of God through his spirit. And then number two, to do his work. Is it clear? Let's stand up on our feet. To pick up from you on Sunday. To go by media, finish your work, everybody pick the tape, and you go back. Take time and listen to it. Is that okay? Are they instructive? You gain something? So you check a pastor along this line. You know, while going through the purposes, I just began to thank God for KDC. We're on track. Glory to God. Are we on track? Yeah, we're on track. It angers us when you see, when we see that you just want to remain a babe. You know, some people just want to remain a babe. They don't want to be pampered. I was telling someone some days ago, let's see, you have outgrown the stage of pampering. You know, Apostle Paul was telling one of the churches, he said, whether should I call with a cane? Huh? You know, there's a level you use cane. I can't use cane for shaman. I can't use cane for selfie. But you see, some days I bring that belt out. And then you now hear Tari saying, Daddy, I will not do it again. No, let the cane touch you 5 times. Although someone said we shouldn't be flogging children. See, Bible says that there is foolishness in a child and you need a rod to flog it out. So it is biblical to flog a child. Don't mind America. Abi? It's biblical. It says spare the rod and what? Spoil the child. So you bring the rod. So sometimes you see some people say, Pastor, your mouth to the pain person. I say, yes, me, I can't use cane, but I can use mouth. We flog you. Because you can't be pampered. Because, you know, there is this likeness of childishness. You know, childishness is sweet. You are in the room, somebody brings food for you, wash your pamper, change your pamper for you. At 12, I should still be changing your diaper for you. It's a curse. And spiritually, that's what some people want to be. At this level, you're supposed not to change other people's diaper. Yes, that was what Paul was saying in Hebrews 5 as well. He said, by this time, you're not supposed to take milk. Abba, by now you should be telling me, sir, give me bone, let me crack it. And then when you crack it, two of your teeth get pained. After some days, they will heal. But they will crack another one, praise God. You know, one thing I like about training, now inside training, the bones say they weak. But now inside that training, the bones still say they strong. If you go gym in the morning, come back, all your body will pain you. But continue, that pain will go. So these are the works of the pastor. Lift up your voice and say, Lord, once again, I receive with clarity the ministry of a God-appointed pastor. I understand their place in my life, and I submit to allow them play their roles. I have received your purpose for pastors, and because you have given me some, you have given me some, you have given me pastors after your heart, I'm aligned to carry out these roles. I'm aligned to carry out these purposes. I'm aligned to benefit from these purposes. I frame my design to receive these purposes. Are you making prayers?